Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 9, and then read through verse number 17. All right, let's stand and read this passage in unison this evening. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lord, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You may be seated. Here we have really a glimpse into the future. We have a glimpse into heaven of an event that is going to take place into the future. In the future. You know, in Hebrews chapter 9, when it talks about the Old Testament and some of the things that took place there, it says that it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. So it talks about the patterns of things in the heavens. And so these things in the Old Testament were representing things that were taking place in the heavens. And, you know, here in Revelation chapter 7, we get a glimpse, we get a picture of something that is going to take place in heaven. And I think it's something that there are many things in this passage that we can learn from and apply to our lives. One of the things I see that we see a picture of that we can learn from is that we see here a picture of worship. It says here in verse number 9, it says, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. And it talks about the breadth of this, the great expanse of this multitude. It from many different areas of all nations and kindreds and people. All right, it says in verse number 10, it says, And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. So here we have this great multitude of people. And as you read on, you'll find that this is a great multitude of people that are from the great tribulation. All right, they came out of great tribulation, which would seem to refer to that the second half of the tribulation period. Christ talks about the great tribulation. It talks about, you know, when the abomination of desolation is offered. And so there's going to be, obviously, the whole tribulation time period is a time period of judgment. But there are some great significant things that are going to happen in that second half of the tribulation time period. And so here are people that have gone through that great, that have been in that great tribulation, have gone through great persecution. We find that in that time period, there's going to be many people that come to Christ. But here they're coming and they're worshiping God. And notice it says, as they worship Him, it says, and cried with a loud voice. Now, why would they cry with a loud voice? Well, one reason is it was a great God that they were worshiping. All right, another reason would be the great salvation that they experienced, the great victory that they experienced in coming out of this great tribulation. Think of the great persecution that these people have suffered. And now they are in heaven. And they are crying out with a loud voice, salvation to our God. You know, as we worship God, do we cry out with a loud voice? You know, last Wednesday we had a message and my dad mentioned the verse, play skillfully with a loud noise. You know, these people had experienced a great salvation. You know, many times, you know, worship can be aided, we can be helped in our worship when we truly experience what takes place in this book. You know, if this is all just a bunch of head knowledge, and we have really not grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you haven't experienced, you know, the cleansing blood of Christ, later on it talks about how they made them white, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, if you haven't experienced that in your life, you're going to have a hard time proclaiming it. And these people had experienced salvation. Not only had they experienced salvation, but they had experienced the great victory of eternal life, of being rescued. Of, you know, they had sacrificed probably their lives, but yet now they were experiencing the victory of heaven. And, you know, think of these people as they went through great persecution. And now they are free from that persecution and experiencing the glories of heaven. And they're proclaiming it with a loud voice. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. They had experienced it. They had firsthand experience. And that is one of the things that can help us in our worship is when we truly experience the things that are written in this book. Now, obviously, our experience can't just be any experience. Right? It has to be experience with what? It has to be the Word of God taking effect in our lives. You know, one application would be salvation. You know, if you haven't experienced salvation, you're going to have a hard time proclaiming it. You know, when you experience victory over sin in your Christian life, it causes you what? Room for rejoicing, for proclaiming it. And so we find experience, but not only can experience cause room for worship, but we find that observation can as well. And it says here, verse number 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. So here we have the angels saying amen to what these people had experienced. Now, the angels obviously have experience with the greatness of God. They're there. They're in His presence. They understand. They see His greatness on a firsthand basis. You know, but there are some things, you know, that the angels desire to look into that they have not experienced in the same fashion that we have. You know, it talks about in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And we know in Luke chapter 15 that there's great rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. All right, have the angels experienced, you know, repentance? Well, no, they don't have sin to repent of, but it's something that they observe and they rejoice in. And you think about that. You know, here's the angels, is they desire to look into it. And here, if you're a believer tonight, you have experienced salvation. You know, how much greater desire ought we to have to really know the salvation that Christ has granted us? And so their worship is a result of experiencing it. Worship is a result of observing it. You know, they cried with a loud voice. Is there that aspect in your life? There's so much that you have to praise God about. You recognize how great and powerful He is, that you can do nothing but proclaim it with a loud voice. You know, when we have opportunity to sing in church, it shouldn't be something where we have to, so to speak, you know, make ourselves sing out. I mean, there's times where, yes, our flesh gets in the way and we have to decide to do it. But, you know, if we're filled with the things of God, it's really going to be a natural thing. Do you think that these people, as they're standing there in heaven someday, have to think about, oh, I better do this loud enough? No, it's a natural outflow of the great salvation that they experienced firsthand. And you know, as we really begin to grow in our relationship with God, this worship is not going to have to be something that we put on, but it's really going to come from a heart. It's going to flow out of a heart that has met with God, that knows God, and realizes and recognizes His greatness. You know, if we have to stand in church, and yes, there's the flesh and there's those battles, obviously, because we're going to be weary and we're going to be maybe tired. But if you have to, like, force yourself to sing, or you even have a hard time forcing yourself to sing, you need to step back. You need to think, you know, what have I missed out on that I don't see the greatness of God, and it's a natural outflow of my being to want to open my mouth and praise Him in a great way? You know, there is an aspect to the Bible, in the Bible, of silence as well. You know, it talks about in Habakkuk, let all the earth keep silence before Him. You might say, well, okay, so it talks about silence, it talks about loudness. What's the balance between the two? Well, I think in Psalm 76, it helps us to understand what's going on when the Bible talks about, you know, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Psalm number 76. It says in Psalm number 76, verse 7, it says, Thou, even Thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in Thy sight? when once thou art angry, thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was what? And was still. You know, I think when we think of silence, let all the earth be in silence before him. There's an aspect of worship in which you fear God. And that is what silence is representing, is that fear of God. You know, that fear in judgment, that fear that's going to cause us to stop in our tracks in what we're doing. And you know, so there is that reverence that is a part of worship, not just this loud noise, you know, that comes from those that are playing their rock music in church. I mean, that has nothing to do with worship. It has nothing to do about proclaiming how great God is. It is nothing about focusing the attention on God. It's all about focusing the attention on what pleases man, and that has nothing to do with the worship of God. So we speak of silence. There's a silence in fearing God. You know, you think of aspects of silence in worship. You know, when the Word of God is being preached, if somebody is whispering with their friends and they're not really concerned, well, they need to be what? They need to be silenced. There needs to be a fear of God that permeates the worship of God. You know, when the offertory is being played and you're just whispering with your friend about maybe something that happened in school, or if the, you know, or even greater than that, you think of the Lord's Supper being taken. When a time of remembering what Christ did. You know, if you're passing notes, young people, or you're kind of, you know, doing things on the side, you know, let all the earth keep silence. There ought to be a fear of God that permeates, that controls your worship of God. But here in heaven, obviously these are people that fear God, but there's a time to cry out, to lift up your voice and participate in the verbal worship, the verbal declaration of the greatness of our God. You know, I think one thing we can see in this worship is that it was, it says in verse number 11, it says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne." Verse 9, it says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude." And what did that great multitude do? They cried with a loud voice. You know, I think one thing, now there it doesn't use the word all, but in verse 11 it uses the word all. I think one thing you see here in this picture of worship is that there is participation in worship. All right, there's not people standing idle while others are worshiping God. There is a full participation. You know, proper worship is going to include all. You know, I don't think you could stand here and really fathom a picture of this great multitude standing in heaven, and here's this little group over here not saying anything. Or here there's this little group over here talking about something else that maybe happened when they were persecuted. No, in one accord, they're lifting up their voice, saying salvation to our God. You know, are we unified in our worship? We see a picture here of participation in worship. You know, we mentioned the offertory, or maybe when special music. You know, when somebody's singing special music, in one way they are helping us to worship, and we need to think about what is being sung. We need to allow our hearts to be prepared. We need to be participating in the worship that's taking place. You know, we don't always do it, but sometimes we announce, you know, the number of a song. And I know many times, sometimes I do it, many times I don't. I should do it more. But, you know, when that hymnal number is announced, you know, open it up. And, you know, you get so much more out of the, I know myself, you know, you can get so much more out of it when you're following along with the words. And you many times you miss out on something when you're not looking at it. And, you know, as we're thinking of this, you know, we just had an offertory, you know, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And I know it's something I need to work on, and that is, you know, saying amen. All right, and here we see in verse number 12, notice what the angel said after these people cried out with a loud voice. They said, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And notice the response of the angels. They said, amen. This is true. This is something that we agree with. Salvation to our God. And so we need to participate in the worship. And so they said, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom. We see here the content of our worship. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So, blessing, all right, and it's the idea of praise. What is, and one person put it, what is due God on behalf of the liberated multitude? Blessing. It says glory. One person stated, honor derived from earning a good reputation. Honor, or blessing, and glory. You know, to God be the glory. Great what? Great things He hath done. And so there is glory being given to God. It says, wisdom. You know, one the divine knowledge of God exhibited in His plan of salvation. You think of the wisdom of God in salvation. You think of the wisdom of God in creating this world. There is so much that we have to worship God about. We see here some of the content of the worship of the angels. And there's more words here, and we could, next time I'll probably continue it. And we're out of time here. But, you know, think of your worship. As you come, you know, this Sunday to worship God, are you participating in that worship? Are you crying out with a loud voice? Is there that reverence in worship? You know, crying out with a loud voice, if you aren't, we need to examine our hearts and say, why am I not? Why is my view of God so small? Or why is my experience of God so small through His Word, that I have such a hard time giving praise to Him? And so maybe we can think about that as you go through the rest of your week. You know, here are this great multitude of people. And you know, they have something to praise God about. And you know, if you're a believer tonight, you have something to praise Him about. And may our mouths show forth. May our lives show forth that praise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for, Lord, the glimpse that You've given us of what, Lord, will take place in heaven. And Lord, we live in an age in which people don't glorify You. Lord, focuses on material things. Lord, the answer in many people's minds to the problems we're facing in our nation is money, or handling money differently. Lord, when the problem is that we don't have the right view of You. And Lord, I just pray that as believers, that we would be a light in this world. And Lord, one of those areas, Lord, that we can be a light in is by worshiping You. By, Lord, allowing our relationship with you to be what it ought to be. Lord, so that when we come here to publicly worship you, we truly have something to praise you about. And Lord, we should never be short on something to praise you about. If we would just open your word and begin to see who you are, we would have plenty, Lord, to praise you about. Lord, we just pray that you would guide us, Lord, in these next few days, that when, Lord, we would reconvene here on Sunday once again, that our worship would be something, Lord, that you would be pleased with. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.